Leviticus 25:10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Good morning. This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. We are located just 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road, just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. And we'd love for you to come and visit with us in any or all of our services. We do have visitors from time to time. We hope you will feel welcome when you come. We hope that you would see us as a friendly place to come and worship, and also a place where we try to let the Spirit of God have His way in our hearts and in our lives. We're just like anybody else. Sometimes we struggle in the flesh, but it is our desire to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. This coming Sunday, July the 24th, we are looking forward to a visiting evangelist, Brother Gary Byram. We have supported Brother Byram and the Camp Tracy Home for Young People. It's located in the state of Florida, but Brother Byram comes through every year in the month of July, and his family, they are such a blessing unto us. We'd love for you to come visit this Sunday. I'm looking forward. He always brings a great message from the Word of God that is an encouragement and a help unto God's people. This Sunday morning, Sunday school, 10 a.m., Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m., and then our evening service at 6 p.m. We'd love for you to come and visit. I also want to mention today, before I get started, and I mentioned this last week as well, I'm very excited about the coming semester at the VBC Bible Institute. This is located in Roane Mountain, Tennessee, the VBC Bible Institute. This is mainly for busy pastors, preachers. Maybe you're a Sunday school, a deacon. Maybe you're a teacher in the church. You'd love to further your Bible education, but you just don't have the time. You don't have the money. You don't have the opportunity to just drop everything and go off to school. Maybe you'd just like to learn more about the Bible. This is a wonderful opportunity. It is not something that is going to break you up financially speaking. I graduated from VBC Bible Institute. I also taught there for 4 years from about 1996-97 up through about the year 2000. And I'm excited to be going back this fall semester to teach there in the school. The classes this fall are going to be New Testament Survey, taught by Brother Tull Oaks. The Book of Romans is going to be taught by Brother Kenneth Forbes. And The Kingdom of the Cults is the class that I'm going to teach. I've taught that class before, and so we're looking forward to this. But if you are interested, there are several ways that you can take advantage of VBC Bible Institute. You can go as anybody can go, let me say that. Maybe you're a lady, you'd like to take the classes. That is not something that is, frowned upon. It's something that's encouraged. We're not turning out women preachers or anything like that. Don't get me wrong. But we don't turn out preachers. God's the one that turns out the preachers. But ladies are welcome to come. Anybody that is interested in furthering their Bible knowledge is welcome to come and take part of these classes. But you can take it as non-credit or credit for a bachelor's degree. You can take it as a resident. You can go every Thursday night to Roane Mountain, Tennessee. That's what I'll be doing. You can take it as a satellite student. This is where our ministry comes in at Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We're going to offer a satellite program, which means you can go right there to the church, the church fellowship hall, every Thursday night, beginning August the 19th, I believe it is, and you can go and take the classes there. We're going to have a DVD projector or either a big screen TV, something like that. You'll be able to watch each of the classes come together as students, and it's just a wonderful way. It's a wonderful opportunity to do this. If you would like more information, you can you can go to the website, www.vbcministries.org. That's www.vbcministries.org. You can get a registration there, or you can contact them through that website. Or if you would like more information from me, I'd be glad to talk to you. You're not bothering me one bit. You can call the church telephone number. If I don't answer, we'll get back with you just as soon as possible. But that is 828-963-4596. 828-963-4596 if you'd like to call and like more information concerning that. So I hope that if you're interested, you'll take advantage of this wonderful opportunity, and it's available out there. If you are a young preacher especially, I want to encourage you. God's calling or a call to the ministry is a call to prepare. And you need to prepare and study the Word of God. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. And it is an awesome responsibility to preach the Word of God. And I believe we need to do all we can to study God's Word. It will help you. If I didn't think it would, I would not recommend it. This is not a school you're going to go to that you're going to find that the Word of God is belittled, that the Word of God is cast doubt upon, but you're going to be encouraged in the Word of God, and it's going to be a help to you. Anyway, we've got to move on today. Time quickly gets gone. Blessings of Liberty is a phrase that comes from the preamble to the Constitution of the United States. And for over 2 years now, I didn't mention it a few weeks ago, but July 4th is our birthday. That's when we started the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. And over 2 years now, we've been visiting this subject in light of the Bible and American history. Back in January of this year, we began a study of 28 founding principles. Now, I came across these principles in the little book. It's called The 5,000-Year Leap. Some of you are familiar with this book. It's entitled The 5,000-Year Leap, A Miracle That Changed the World. But in that book, there are 28 founding principles, and I thought it would be interesting to go through those chapters, those 28 principles, and just ask ourselves the question, is America really, or was America really founded as a Christian nation? If it was, then our founding principles should be able to be the principle there found in the Word of God. And so that's what we began to do. We went through, and we're up to number 25 today. We're almost done with this study, but we've went through and we've asked ourselves, first of all, is this principle, can there be found a scriptural principle to back it up? And then we have given a historical example and then a modern day application. If you're interested in following all the way through the study with us, you can go to the church website, mountlebanonbc.org, and you can follow this from the very beginning, all 28 principles. But that's what we've been doing now for about 6 months. Today, we come to number 25. And principle number 25 has to do with America's foreign policy. What does the Word of God teach? What is the historical precedent that has been being set? And then also a modern day application. This is what we're going to look at today. But it has to do with foreign policy. And this is taken from a speech by Thomas Jefferson in his first inaugural address when he was the President of the United States. And it goes like this: peace, commerce, and honest friendship with all nations, entangling alliances with none. Now, that can be shortened up to say this: friendship with all, alliances with none. And that comes from, of course, as I've already said, Thomas Jefferson's first inaugural address as the President of the United States. Now, historically speaking, for the first 125 years of our nation, this was foreign policy in a nutshell. It was known, or it has come to be known, as the doctrine of separatism. Separatism. We were separate from the other countries. We were friendly with the other nations, but we were not entangled with any of these nations. Now, I realize, and if you study history, you will realize that we did borrow money as a young nation. We had to pay that back. We were entangled in some alliances, but the advice of the founders was to get out of these entangling alliances as soon as possible and do not renew them. We pursued a doctrine of separatism, friendship with all, alliances with none. Now, there is a modern day example of that. America can no longer say that we are a separatist nation, and that is different from isolationism, but we're not going to get into that today. But we can no longer say that we are a separatist nation, but there is a modern day example of that. The country of Switzerland is a good example of separatism. Now, Switzerland, in spite of being located in Europe, I mean right in the middle of all these nations and fights and skirmishes and all of these things, Switzerland was neutral during both World War I and World War II. They were never caught up in the fight and all of these things. They remained open to those who would like to come and do business with them, banking, commerce, whatever the case may be, but they did not get caught up in the skirmishes of World War I, World War II. They remain separate. They are the only country in Europe that still depends upon a volunteer army for their national defense. And a result of that is, as far as I know, and somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but as far as I know, they're the only nation left in Europe that still gives their citizenry, what we would call in America, the right to keep and bear arms. Now, I lived in the country of England for 3 years, and that was over 20 years ago. And I'll tell you, in England, even then, to have a firearm in your home, it was near impossible to do that. And now, as far as I know, I guess it is. The right to keep and bear arms has been taken away from the people in Europe. They have no self-defense against a tyrannical, oppressive government. But in the country of Switzerland, because they have remained a separate nation, they have a separate sovereignty and identity, they still have much freedom. Truth be known, they probably have more freedom than we have right here in the United States of America. But the reason is because they've remained separate, friends with all, entangling alliances with none. They're a great modern day example of what it means to be a separatist nation. We used to be that way in the country of America. Now, George Washington, our first president, in his farewell address, his famous farewell address to the nation when he was no longer going to be the president, he said this concerning foreign policy. He said, "Observe good faith and justice toward all nations. Cultivate peace and harmony with all. Religion and morality enjoin this conduct, and can it be that good policy does not equally enjoin it?" Now, what he was saying there, he was saying toward the other nations, we need to observe good faith and justice toward all nations. Good faith and justice toward all nations. Be friends with them. He said, cultivate peace and harmony with all. Try to get along as much as possible with everybody. And he gave the example, religion and morality enjoin this conduct. Where do we learn how to be this way? Where do we learn how to get along with everybody? Well, he said, religion and morality enjoin this conduct. Now, if you know anything at all about President George Washington, he was a dedicated, serious follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. He followed after the religion of Christianity, and he was a dedicated Christian. The religion, of course, he's referring to, it's not the religion of Allah, it's not the religion of Buddha, it's the religion of Christianity. That's what he was a follower of. That's what he was a promoter of. Now, let me say just a little bit right here about true Christianity. I'm talking about true. I mean, if you could see me, if I could write it on a screen for you today, I would say true, capital T-R-U-E. I'm talking about being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the early Christians, that's why they called them Christians, because they followed Christ. Now, true Christianity is not an American religion. It is not an English religion. It is not a Roman religion. True Christianity today, I'm emphasizing that on purpose. True Christianity is not Democrat. It is not Republican. It is not white or black or brown or yellow or red. It is not Eastern, Western, or Protestantism. I'm talking about true Christianity today. Keep that in mind. True Christianity can be summarized like this. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. You ought to underline that if you have a copy of God's Word. For God so loved the world. Not just America, not just white people, not just red. God so loved the world. The Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ given to His disciples goes like this. Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. True Christianity is not something that is latched onto by a nation and becomes exclusive to that nation. True Christianity is inclusive to all the peoples of the world. So, of course, it's going to be friendly to all the nations of the world as much as is possible. Now, Christianity today has much of a blight upon it because you have people who will say something like this. They'll say, well, I have no use for religion. I have no use for Christianity because more wars have been started in the name of Christianity or in the name of religion than in any other thing. And they go along like that. Now, that is a true statement. There have been many wars in this world that have been started in the name of religion. But that does not make them Christian. There are many that have latched on to the name of Christianity and then went about to do things or say things that the founder, Jesus Christ, has not put His approval on. He's not happy with. They may do something in His name, but that does not mean that He is behind it. There is a big difference between true Christianity and those who would latch on to the name of Christian and do things and say things under that banner, but really have nothing to do with Christianity. You'll never find Jesus starting a war until the end of what we call the world in Revelation chapter number 19. And then there is going to be a war that He's going to start and He's going to finish, and then His kingdom will come upon this world. And that's why we need to be ready. We need to have made our peace with the peacemaker, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not going to come and start something until he's ready to finish it. But all this stuff talking about wars in the name of Christianity and everything, God's not within 100 miles of that. But what I'm talking about today, true Christianity, there's a big difference. Now, the downfall of separatism in our nation began when America was drawn into World War I. And from that time forward, we abandoned our high and lofty position as the world's peacemaker and the opportunity to be the world's peacemaker. And from that time forward, we, little by little, have become, instead of a peacemaker, we have become the world's police. And we have to fast forward right there. I can't go through all that history and everything, but we can just look around today and see how many nations, how many conflicts are we involved in America. And it has stretched us out, drawn us out, and we're very unsuccessful in what's going on. I mean, we have been involved in fighting in Afghanistan now since I was in the military, and that was over 20 years ago. It has now become America's longest action, what they call police action, call it a war, call it military activity, call it whatever you want to, but we're fighting, losing lives, we're gaining very little ground, and if we left the place today, it would go right back to how it was before, if not worse. And we are entangled all around this globe. We could say something like this, that instead of friendship with all, alliances with none, we're really and truly friends with none, and we have alliances with all. It is amazing today, if you look at what America supports, sends money to, with one hand, for example, we will give to Lebanon, and on the other hand, we will give to Israel, and they are eternal enemies, one with another, and we're trying to be friends with both, and it's not working. We're not getting anywhere, and we've not gotten anywhere. I mean, Jimmy Carter tried to make peace, and every president since then has been trying to make peace, but we're not peacemakers anymore because we have these entangling alliances with all these different nations, and what they actually are, instead of being an asset to our nation and a benefit to our nation, they have put chains upon our nation, and we can't really get anywhere with anybody. We've been given billions and billions of dollars to Pakistan down through the years, and Pakistan has been keeping and hiding our worst enemy, I mean on the number one most wanted list for we don't even know how many years, in Osama bin Laden and all of those things. So you can see the problem along these lines. For example, let me say this, when and if, and I believe it's more a question of when than if, but when our nation goes belly up financially, what we're going to find as a nation is that there's going to be nobody who's going to come and bail us out of a bad situation. What I mean by that, nobody's going to come along and say, well, you know, we're going to help poor old America out, and we're going to bail them out financially with the International Monetary Fund or something like this. What we have is buzzards circling even now, ready to come in and scarf up anything that might be left. When we have a national disaster, now other people in the world can have national disasters, and America will be first on the scene to come and help them, but who comes and helps us when there's a Katrina or another national disaster like that? Nobody. Our leaders actually have done a terrible job of making friends around the world. We went throughout the world and made enemies on every continent, in every place in the world. And what we find is, although we're dishing out and giving money, we actually have very few true friends in the world. Once upon a time in the world, or on the world stage, America was held in high esteem among the nations of the world. Now we are hated among the nations of the world, especially where we are most involved, and that's in the Middle East. And what's going on over there? And you can't really blame Obama. You can't blame Bush, one above the other. They're both guilty of causing a very bad taste among the Middle Eastern nations of the world. I don't have time to give a multitude of examples, but I'll just give this. I recently read a book by General Hugh Shelton. He was the Joint Chiefs of Staff when 9/11 took place. So, his time was almost up when 9/11 took place. So, probably from 96 to 2000 or 98 to 2000, somewhere around in there. But when 9/11 took place, President George W. Bush would not quit until we used that as a precedent to attack Iraq. But the evidence at that time and his advisors said we can't attack Iraq because of 9/11 because there is no tie. But he used that for a jumping board to attack the country of Iraq. Now, most Americans may not know that or may not understand that, but I promise you, in Iraq, they understand that they were attacked under a false premise. There were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq yet. That's all we heard. That's all we heard. We've got to attack them. We've got to attack them. And you know what? The same drumbeat is going on concerning Iran right now. Well, they've got weapons. They're doing this. They're doing that. You watch. One of these days, we'll be fighting Iran as well. But we are hated all around the world. Watch them burn the flags. Watch them burn the dollar and all of these things. We're entangled in so many different countries. We have favor with none. We're killing and fighting right now in Libya, not because they have attacked us, not because we are threatened by them, but we are fighting in Libya and killing people in Libya because NATO says it needs to be done, says Muammar Gaddafi has got to go. But I'll tell you, there's probably 100 dictators in the world that need to go, but who made us the world police? Who? What if a contingent from Libya snuck into America, came down through Canada, and attacked the United States of America? Who would blame them? We attacked them unprovoked. You see what I'm saying today? What would be a good way to say this? We have prostituted ourselves as the world's mercenaries. We have no just cause in many of the things we're involved in. And I'll tell you, we therefore have very few friends in the world. And if something happened to us, you'd see there'd be very few would come to our aid. Well, our time is quickly come and gone today. Noah's going to come and give the contact information in just a moment, but we're in a mess. There is no answer as far as I see. I believe there is a spiritual answer to the question, and it is a result of our nation turning its back on God. Deuteronomy 28, 43 and 44, the Bible said, "The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low." It says in verse 44, "He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail." We see in America today that we're quickly becoming the tail of the nations. How sad that is. Well, our only hope is a true revival and a turning back to God who made us great to begin with. The Bible says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." I appreciate you listening in to the Blessings of Liberty. Hope you'll tune in next week at this same time. Have a great day. God bless. Here's Noah with the contact information for the broadcast.
All right, this has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you would like to contact us, the church phone number is 963-4596. That's 963-4596. Or you can reach us through the church website, mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.